Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the secrets and the strategies of the top 1% so you can move your life and your business forward. I'm excited today. I have a really awesome guest with me. And let me tell you a little bit of background, who he is. He's an entrepreneur, an author, a speaker. And most importantly, just like myself, he's also a father of seven. I'm only at three.
I was like, dude, when did you get four children? That's pretty amazing.
So I'll clarify that. He's gone from dead broke to cracking the code and from starting and taking multiple businesses from zero to multiple seven figures as well as even eight figures. He and his wife raised their kids in the south side of Chicago, and he's just launched an awesome new book and an event overall called The Time Collapsing, The New Art of Speed, Money, Power, and Meaning. So I'm excited to welcome Ed O'Keefe to Making Bank.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me. Hi, everyone. I'm stoked to be here. And I'm just very excited to be here. This is pretty exciting. I'm glad you got the book, and we're ready to rock and roll.
Definitely, man. Well, so let's fill in our guests, you know, a little bit on your background, how you got started as an entrepreneur.
Sure. So my background's pretty simple. It's actually pretty funny. I grew up in a family of 13 kids. I'm the 12th of 13. I was the first one to graduate from college. I graduated with my nursing degree. And probably like a lot of listeners or viewers, I came across some audio tapes from Earl Nightingale on Lead the Field, Dennis Waitley, A Psychology of Winning. And then right around that time, I think I was in my, you know, early like 21, 22, Chicken Soup for the Soul became very popular. And so my mind was, this was like the first time that I had ever been told that you can go out and do whatever you want to do. You can become an entrepreneur. You can live your dreams. You live in the best country in the world. And that was so brand new to me. And I was on fire. It really lit me up because I was like, you know, this resonates with me. And like a lot of your viewers, I probably, you know, I just was like, I have something bigger out there for me. And so when I graduated college, I said goodbye to nursing, got my degree, but didn't go into it, and started off on this journey of failing a lot, really a lot, as I through mentors and self-education through books and trainings like this, you know, really experimented my way through to where we are today, you know.
So I guess what was that first business that you started, and how did it go?
Yeah, the first thing is I thought I was going to be the next Tony Robbins motivational speaker. Okay. You know, I was like, well, he was young, I'm young, and I was really excited about that. But I didn't know how to market and promote myself, you know. And I'm giving you kind of the quick version of it. But you know, for about four and a half years after college, I was, you know, bartending. I was coaching volleyball. I was speaking when they would let me speak, and I was doing whatever it took. I'd written a book or two, and it wasn't until I discovered, hey, you know, you need to learn how to market, promote, and sell. And I have a specific, primarily we utilize, all my companies do direct response marketing.
Okay.
But that was the point where I realized, wow, if I could learn this concept of being highly leveraged, create a 24/7 cash machine, which I call a time collapsing cash machine, I could have life freedom and I could run life on my own terms. And it wasn't overnight success, but it definitely, I saw the pulse and we started going from there. Yeah, and really started hammering down.
Awesome. And so what, kind of fast forward a little bit, what have you done then that's led you to your most success?
Yeah, so what I did was, for a lot of, I transitioned out of speaking and I took my trainings and I created manuals out of that.
Okay.
That is where I kind of started learning how to write direct response sales copy, understand the mechanics of business of like, hey, there's only three ways to grow a business. What are those things? And then I noticed that I was never going to be able to make the amount of money I wanted to make selling to volleyball coaches and soccer coaches manuals.
Right.
That the real money was figuring out at that time, I was like, well, if I could teach a market how to promote and get customers or patients or whatever, I could help them make money. And it's easy to sell people to exchange money like when you can make them more. So, hey, you should pay me $1,000. Why should I pay you $1,000? Because I'm going to show you stuff that will increase your income by 100 to 200 to 300,000 this year. Would you pay $1,000 to do it? So that sales proposition. So I went into the dental field.
Okay.
But, I was kind of crazy. Moved over to the dental, and I was there for about 9 years.
Wow.
And then the next big transition that had another big success was when I went to the health supplement company business market. And in the coaching business and dentistry, selling information and stuff like that. Just to give everyone a view, we sold probably over $50 to $60 million in information, coaching, seminars, and then when we went to the health supplement business, the next 5, 6, 7 years was over $50 million again, pretty easily. And we still do a few million a year in that business, and then obviously the time collapsing stuff, which I'll talk to you about in a few minutes. But the same principles apply. Like once I figured out the principles, it was just a matter of getting better at them and shortening the gap of running through that cycle, which everybody can apply. That's the big point,
Right. And so tell me as you were growing, you created the dental business as well as the supplement company and everything. What do you think was the one or two factors that led you to see those to be both successful?
Yeah. I mean, I think first and foremost, Josh, everybody who's, on this, there has to be a mental, and this is where time collapsing really, like one of our key rules in time collapsing is, there's a couple that I like to share. One is we never chase, we always attract. So the business is designed to have customers and patients, or specifically online, because that's where I run most of my businesses or in seminars. We never chase people. They come to us.
Okay.
And so when we design our marketing, our PR strategy, our book, everything is designed with a strategy that has a business behind it. Otherwise, you're just pumping out content or you're doing activities, you're going to networking events, or you're doing things without purposeful intent.
Sure.
And that's fine when I guess you have a lot of time to waste, but it's not fine when you are really trying to create the highest fulcrum and highest leverage points in your life. Okay, that's one. Number two is, how did a 26-year-old guy go into the dental profession where most of the dentists were 10, 15, 20, sure, 30 years older than me and all of a sudden become an authority? And I think that's where the mindset shift of leapfrogging, like we just – and I talk about this in the book of you have no moral right obligation to work your way through the ranks. At any given point, you can jump to the top of any market or endeavor and claim your spot. That's from Robert Ringer's book, Winning Through Intimidation, written in 1976.
Oh, wow.
And so the main hammer to – like or main point to hammer home is no one – like for you to take – for you to make an extra $300, $400, $500,000 next year or an extra million or to be dominant marketplace leader, no one's going to show up to give you permission. So you got to claim it and do that. And I do that in every endeavor, and we do that again today. Those are two big core operating principles.
No, and then, obviously part of it is, you know, when you have a family, you know, you have seven, you know, family of seven, and you know, and it's like you really got to figure out a way to integrate. As I try not to say the balance, because there's no real ever balance, because one side is always going to be skewed. So I try to look at it as integrating, and it sounds like some of the principles that you're starting to talk about from time collapsing, the things that you've done over the years, has allowed you to be able to create that integration of what you do from a business perspective and family as well.
Yeah. So we always talk about, like, so, you know, something I was thinking about a lot today was, you know, tactics. Everyone online right now is teaching tactics.
Right.
You know, like, hey, here's your next Facebook trick. Here's your new Instagram trick or YouTube trick, or how to get more video views or whatever. And then we have other experts that are just telling people to hustle more, spend more time. Like, when I ask an audience, how many of you would like more tactics on your to-do list, and how many of you think you're not hustling enough? No one raises their hand. Like, they don't want more stuff to do,
right?
And they don't feel like they're underachieving, right?
Sure.
Or under hustling. So the question is then, like, well, how do I get a leap in results without figuring out the next weird trick?
And Ed, can we take a quick break?
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
We'll save this good piece for next. I am Josh Felber. You're watching Making Bank, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm cooking up a fresh batch of my Sun Up Before Sun Protector. Last year, my family headed off to the sunny beaches of Riviera Maya for a much-needed vacation. But I knew I wouldn't enjoy myself if we were smothering our skin with ingredients that cause reproductive disorders, hormonal imbalances, even cancer. Kind of takes that feeling out of a beautiful day, right? Now you can make every beautiful day delicious to your skin by using Sun Up Before Sun Protector by Primal Life Organics.
Welcome back to Making Bank. I've had the privilege today to speak with Ed O'Keefe, who has recently launched, and from practicing his principles over the years, The Art of Time Collapsing. And Ed was just diving in a little bit about how we're integrating family and business, and we're talking a little bit about the hustle and nobody wanting to raise their hand thinking that they don't hustle enough, as well as not wanting more tactics on their plate. So Ed, welcome back to Making Bank, and I definitely want to hear where we're headed with this story.
Yeah. So thanks. Yeah. So tactics are great. Tactics are, will perform exceptionally well in the proper context, right?
Right.
So a lot of guys go like, well, hey, man, I'm doing the same thing this guy's doing, but it's not working for me or whatever. And a lot of that is because they don't back up a step and go to what I would call like the worldview level or structure. Like, so when you ask how do you do work-life integration or how do you become a high performer when you are a busy parent or mother, father, whatever it might be. And so what I always like doing is backing people up and saying, so let's pretend we have no limitations. You have no, you know, money, previous obligations you've made, constraints you've put on yourself. Let's swipe them all away clean. And you tell me what you want your life to look like in 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 3 years. And the reason we do that is because most people are stuck in their problems. They have a lot of stuff going on. It's very hard. You can't outwork your inbox.
Sure.
And so you have to design a different life. Like, not a different life, like, not saying everyone's screwed up yet. You got to design your life and then build the business secondarily or even thirdly. You know, design your life. Where does my family come in? What money do I want to make? And I think where a lot of people start having mistakes is they go, well, now I got to limit my potentiality because I have these things. And that's just wrong thinking.
Sure.
And it's ingrained in us. Like, well, now you're just in those years. You got to just deal with family stuff, or you got to sacrifice family. And I was actually interviewed in Entrepreneur Magazine. They're like, well, how do you spend time with friends? And I said, well, I have a couple of rules. One is I only do business with people I like.
Right.
So yeah. my strategic relationships, our vendors, everyone we talk to are people I like. All my customers are people I like. So at the end of the day, my friends are in somewhat integrated. And then you have like your close local friends or college friends. and then you see them at the parish, and then you just see them there. So I think that question comes from a worldview of there's limited time, there's limited resources, and you're supposed to work 16 hours a day. And I flip that on its head and say, it's not true at all. Let's design it the way you want to design it. And then we backfill the tactics. Tactics are important, but only after you've figured out the first 3 points, you know.
Definitely. And I think, you know, it's, you know, like you said, you know, I just saw something about this, you know, somebody was talking about the hustle and getting out and, you know, you got all these people hustling, but nothing's happening.
There's this busy disease in our society that, hey, the busier I am, or the more overwhelmed I am, the more successful I am. It must mean that I'm more successful. And the answer is no, you're just completely disorganized and you have no clarity.
Right. And that's, glad you said that. And that's where I was going, is it's that lack of clarity piece. And I think like what you said a few minutes ago is knowing how you want your life, knowing where you want to go, and having that clarity, that minds, that vision, you know, helps allow you to start to put those pieces in place to now, if you are hustling, then you are driving towards what those end goals are, whether it's more time with the family, whether it's a certain size of business, whether it's you know, X, Y, and Z. So,
yeah. Hey Josh, real quick. I'm not against hustling. I hustle my butt, but I hustle it. Like you think about it, like the one thing they talk about how the domino theory, where like the first domino can knock over a domino twice its size, and then the second domino can knock over a domino twice its size, and this can exponentially keep happening. So what we have to do, everybody who's listening, watching, we have to step back and really go like, you mean, is it okay for me to sit here by myself with a pen, pad of paper, and list out everything that I want to achieve? And like in chapter 4 in the book, we call it freedom question. But like really just say like, wouldn't it be great if, and go through every area of your life and then lay out all these things and then really step back and be like, all right, for this to happen, what is the one thing or two things that if I knock this thing out of the park, if I focus daily on this, every other goal I have would be easily attained because they'd be a byproduct of this, you know?
Right.
And for all of it's a little different, but there's patterns. There's patterns that all of us face. If our sales funnel doesn't work, it doesn't matter how much content you're putting out. You're just accelerating the rate at which a lot of visitors come to a bad sales funnel. If you spend money on advertising, if your sales funnel doesn't work, or your sales process, or you don't have any back end strategy, you're gonna just speed up the rate at which you go broke. You know.
Right.
So those are and I consider that like, so in every business I run, after I figure out the lifestyle thing, my first domino is, well, after we figure out what we're offering and what we're selling, the first domino is, how do we profitably bring customers into this thing? And then how do we leverage that and systematize it so I or you can not stress about getting up and hustling that day? Like if my wife said, let's go out to breakfast. Let's get my workout in, then we're going to go eat. You know what I did today, Josh? This is kind of like, sounds like I'm bragging, but I just want to share this with everybody because this is like what I'm talking about from a lifestyle design. Last night I was putting my 8-year-old to bed. Okay. It took me a second. I had to figure out which one. I put them all. I stopped by all their beds.
Which order?
I had to figure out what I was talking about. And Keegan, and I said to her, she, you know, when they're overtired, they start making up things to not have to go to sleep. And she's like, we had like a parent orientation. And she said, you didn't put a heart in my bucket, which they have these kindness buckets. And I'm like, well, Keegan, I wrote you a long letter and I stuck it in your dresser. And she's like, yeah, but everyone else got these notes. So today on my way into the office, which was at noon, that's cause I went and worked out. I got destroyed by my workout. So I needed a little while to eat. I drove by the school, snuck into her room while she was in there, dropped off the thing. She saw me, came, gave me a hug, and now I left. And I was just like, you know, it's a little, hey, Keegan, I love you. You're the best, blah, blah, blah. But that's what I'm talking about of life freedom, and it's because of, you know, design a time-collapsing money machine.
Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, definitely important. I know we share a lot of the same philosophies. I know when you travel, you conferences, things like that, you're in and out like me, and it's strategically designed that way for a reason. But I know one of the things when I was going through your book was you talk about modeling.
Yeah.
In there. And I've been a big proponent of modeling when I first learned about it at 13, reading Tony Robbins. And
well, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So I guess maybe expand kind of on your whole philosophy behind that and how that's helped you.
Yeah. So modeling is misunderstood by a lot of people. Like when you look at like real world modeling. So I love modeling. I consider myself a time collapsing. A big proponent is modeling. And then you iterate after modeling, right?
Right.
Okay. So what is modeling? So modeling is simply the replication or assimilation of someone else's world-class skill or outcome or capability, right? So if you see an author you want to be more like, you go study them. You see an entrepreneur, or if anyone could create the results, the core underlying belief system is if anyone can create this result or solve this problem, I can replicate the process that they did in order to then replicate the outcomes, right?
Right.
And so here's just a couple of key components of modeling, though, that I think are misunderstood. Number one, first and foremost, and this is one reason why a lot of business owners fail when they try a model, because they don't get some of these criteria. So thanks for bringing this up. Number one, you have to have a model that you're passionate about modeling, that you are really vested and like, man, I really, it would like, wouldn't it, and this is kind of where the freedom question leads to your model, is like, wouldn't it be really cool if I could, you know, work 5 hours a day, make $1 million net profit, be at my kids' games, and then, and like, if that's your thing, right? And so that's number one. You have to be like, when I see my models, I have to be ridiculously passionate about replicating the results, right? Now, step two is, you need to really go behind the scenes of and do your homework to find out what they call an NLP, but I'll call it like what would happen when you successfully model this person. What would your life look like? And you want to go behind the scenes. And this is why I tell people they should be going to live events and seminars. They should hire people who they feel they want to be more like as a consultant. Sure. They should join the coaching clubs. And this may sound like a sales pitch because I have all those things, but the reason why you must do that is so that you energetically and unconsciously can be in the same room and presence of them in order to validate whether or not they're the right model for you or not, right?
Right.
Okay, now here's why. Because step two is you need to get in the presence of a model. Now, here's what's really positive. With YouTube, podcasts, like what you're doing at Making Bank, which is amazing, and with all these non-traditional educational sources coming up, like what Chase Jarvis is doing over Creative Live and Seth Godin's doing, like these guys are all creating opportunities for you to model people virtually and get a lot of data. Now, what's the data you're looking for? Okay. So I like looking at there's a big chapter in this book because there's multiple ways to model, but I'll give you a simple one. When I go to model someone, I want to know their identity, how they see themselves, like how they see, like when they use the words like, well, I am, whatever they say after that, that becomes a literal neurological track I want to put into my head. And then when they say like what's important to them, or and they don't say like, oh, what's really important to me is this, but they'll say, you listen to their language patterns and be like, well, you know, first we went like Will Smith. I'll give you a great example because I video on him that I'm going to do a whole training that's going to model. Like I transcribed all his interviews because he's someone who I just totally respect. But here's like an interesting thing. He in an interview said, well, we were recording Karate Kid 2 in China, but every Friday night we would get on an airplane and fly all the way back to LA to see his son in his senior year to watch football, right? So if you say like, well, Ed, how do I model that? No. What you don't realize, what he just told you, is what's important to him. So he's willing to work, sleep little, put his older son in front of and like schedule his work around his son. So like you say, well, family definitely to him is number one. If you listen to others saying you got like his work ethic is tireless, like that's his exact languaging. So I would stick all those things in a thing. And so that's values and then belief systems and then emotional states and then language patterns. So, okay, so I'm giving you a big chunk in like 30 seconds. Now, here's what's really interesting. When you start mapping these things out of someone you're trying to model, so one of the first models I really was trying to study was like Gary Halbert for copyright. Sure. And just, okay, and I'll explain how that can reverse it. But like you have to be literal, like very, very literal, meaning if he says that I can change reality with my thoughts, this, I'm going back to Will Smith. You have to go, and you want to model him. You have to be like, what does my operating world, must it look like for me to believe I could change the world with my thoughts? Okay. Not saying anyone here does or doesn't. I don't care. But I'm saying, like, you have to get very, very literal with modeling. And then the business structure, then, you take that another level, which is, what are the behavioral aspects within the business structure, and what are the most key points they focus on, and sequentially how they think those processes go. I've already given though a little bit here today when I said the number one thing after you determine your product is your sales process. Now there's micro steps in there. So my point of sharing this, Josh, and it is this, is time collapsing is a process that we apply to processes.
Right.
So you could apply it to anything. And modeling is a component inside of it. So that's the we shared about, you got to be passionate about the model. You got to get live with the model if possible. That's the best. Number three is you got to be very, very literal with the model. And number four is simple, basic, like learning behavioral systems, which is when the results you're getting is not matching their results, you need to then go get more information to find out what are you doing that is not the same exact process they're doing. Last thing I want to share on this, okay?
Sure.
And then that cycle loops on top of itself. In the book, I talk about this. What most guys do and gals do, and where most entrepreneurs are screwing up this process, because this is what I would call a global process. This is not something that is a tactic. There's strategies and tactics inside of it, but I consider like running Facebook ads being a tactic, right?
Sure.
Is if I want to model a guy who's a world-class at Facebook, like there's a lot of them. I'm Jason Hornan, right?
Right.
I don't go and simultaneously study Ezra Firestone's course and simultaneously study another Facebook world-class experts course. Once you find a model, which by the way, all those guys are amazing. Once you find a model, you need to go to their, like go through their system without deviation before, and this is called clean slating it, before you add any other iterations from other models. Does this make sense?
Sure. Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. I mean, because you know, you really want to get yourself into it and wrap, you know, and get your mind and your physiology and everything on what they're doing without any other kind of distractions to kind of pull you away from that specific model that you're trying to integrate.
Yeah, that's a big chunk, but everyone here can do it. You know, it's not your own. You listen to me, your mind already knows how to do it.
Right.
When my son sees my older son peeing behind the tree, even though he's two, he knows how to just go pee behind a tree. Like, it's not hard to model, you know?
Right.
Doesn't take much.
Might enjoy that, too.
I don't know who my oldest one learned it from. I wonder who that could have.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Let's see. And then tell me a little bit about, I know the leapfrog theory. I know we got a few minutes left, but I definitely want to understand that a little bit more and how as entrepreneurs we can utilize that, you know, in growing our businesses.
Yeah. So, I mean, really simply is like, so if I'm making only 100,000 a year, traditional thinking would brainwash you into thinking your next step is 200,000.
Right.
and then your next step is 300,000. And Leapfrog Theory says, screw that, throw it all out. Where would I need to be at in order to generate, you know, 1.5 million or 1.2 million? Who is that model? And how do I leap to that and then and assimilate his worldview? What is his processes and strategies? And then if we had the discipline to do that long enough, you would find out that you could replicate results very, very quickly. So why leapfrog versus take the steps? One, it's not crowded at the top. It's right. Not crowded. There's only a few of us up there. It's very, very crowded going up the step ladder. Everybody's there. And everybody's brainwashed. Everybody's brainwashed to think that that's what it's supposed to look like. So no one has so it takes more mental fortitude and actually harder work to go up the step ladder to success. Plus, you orientate differently when you're coming from a place of like, I'm already at 1.2, or I'm growing this company to 30 million or 50 million or 100 million. You'll seek out different mentors, different models, and behave totally differently than if you're just trying to go like, well, once I get to 300,000, then I'm going to set a goal for 600,000. And then after that, I'm going to set a goal for why? Why? It just doesn't make sense. You're going to end up missing a lot of your goals anyway. So why not shoot high and orientate your whole worldview from that perspective and then train in order to get there?
Cool. What are two important things from the book you want to leave the listeners with?
What are two out of the four chapters? Thanks, Josh. That's a good.
I mean, there's only four chapters, you know, so.
So we haven't talked about any tactics or any like breaking it down, but one of the chapters I talk about time collapsing your money is we just talked about this briefly, is that I walk through a series of micro math exercises that require like some of it's a gift, because I just say, here's the math, simple stuff. Now you get to go do the exercise and figure out like, this is where I want to earn. This is where my taxes are going to be. If I'm investing 10% or 20%, do the math on your money. Like, you want to make more money? Do the math. That is probably one of the biggest strategic differences between multi-millionaires and billionaires versus people who struggle, okay, or who have not gotten over the seven-figure leap.
Sure.
And then when you do the math, I bring it to the next thing is like, because you're going to create your money machine in the business or in the book, we go into strategy and tactics is like, does your money machine have the potentiality of creating the math that you just created? And then the next thing I do is go, hey, does your superpower align with the money machine to then help create the math? So I try and line these things up so that once you start down this process, you really do get to align and synergize. You know, that's the goal. So
cool. And one of the things I know that you're doing is you're actually teaching all this, right?
Now we created Time Collapsing Academy and we're running our mega conference. And one thing I realized, can I just ramble for
a few
seconds? So I've been going to a lot of masterminds lately, and the one thing I've realized is that we're going to run Time Collapsing Academy totally differently. And here's why. This is stuff people need to be trained on.
Sure.
Like, it's just show up, hang out. Hopefully people can, hang out and have fun. But like, people need to be guided. I spent so many years going through advanced trainings to learn so many of these concepts, and then 17 years of applying it inside a business structure and life structure. We're stoked. We have a world-class lineup come to our mega conference in October in Nashville. What else do you want to know? I could ramble all day.
Well, besides yourself, I remember seeing some of you guys. You guys have some Navy SEALs coming to talk about. You have a billionaire.
I have my MC is Chris Smith Jr. He's a SEAL Team 6 guy, 1%, 1%er within that. He was my trainer. He was one of my coaches at Kokoro Camp, which is a mini Hell Week experience I did just about 10 months ago. He's going to be one of the MCs. Jesse Itzler, billionaire Jesse Itzler, who I've talked about. Have you had him on your show yet?
No, not yet.
We're going to have to get him on your show. He's amazing. one of the coolest guys ever. If you're ever talking,
was good.
What's that?
His book was good.
His book's amazing. Living with a CL. He's one of the coolest guys you'll ever meet. And you know, he's living like that dream that all of us want to do. He's, you know, like I'm talking about modeling.
Sure.
He's who I'm trying to model him. I'm spending a lot of time. Like I spent a few days with him. We have him coming out to the event. And I listen to his language patterns and how he sees things. And Dan Reutemann. Dan grew a company from his starting his college dorm room to doing over $80 million a year in the language learning business.
Yep.
Rick Steele's in the window, the cordless window blind e-commerce online. Cool. They do over $70 million a year. Our good friend Vinny Fisher, CEO of Fully Accountable and Total CEO, will be there talking about measuring and growing with purpose. Our friend Jeff Usner does 50,000 leads a day.
Wow.
Yeah, online, which he'll be sharing his best secrets. John Tarr is like a persuasion madman. He sells $5,000 and $7,000 tickets to events or to courses on autopilot. And he was living, him and his wife were living on an island. And then I have a buddy of mine who is a Delta Force commander who will be there talking about a startup, a tech startup that involves veterans. And I mean, if you want to grow to the next level, this room will just by osmosis put you there. So,
no, that's phenomenal, and I'm excited for that coming up. And then I think too, you have an opportunity for people to get your book, right?
Yeah, go to I'm sure if you have a link up there, you click on the link.
Yeah, we'll have the link right here.
Josh provided, but. It's Time Collapsing, the New Art of Speed, Money, Power, and Meaning. And we didn't even talk about meaning. And the concept of behind the meaning part is that there's no reason to be living or stuck in a business or job that you just don't and feel like you have no way out in today's day and age. And so the book is designed to inspire people and equip them and empower them to go out and go create, be a creator. The world needs you right now.
Definitely. I mean, and I just was able to grab a copy recently, so I just dove into yeah. it as fast as I could and started time collapsing it.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I know.
Getting it all in. But no, definitely. And then what's one technology that you can't live without?
YouTube, and I'll tell you why. YouTube. Okay, here's my thing, man. Sure. I'm gonna promote the heck out of what we do because I have a Ed O'Keefe show. It's in our plug, yeah. Shameless plug for my podcast. But because I put in my everything I want to listen to, whether it's meditation music, whether it's affirmations, whether it's I want to, like, if I'm gonna go write a sales letter and I have my mentor who I like, my mentors are people that I want to listen to or I want to learn another concept. I go to YouTube. I type in the person I want to listen to and like the thing I want to learn, and it's there. And then I would say podcasts, man. Like the iTunes podcast has created a whole nother venue for us. And then Facebook Live is my latest thing that everybody, if you cater to customers and educating them makes your life better, start Facebook Live, man. Start Facebook Live. So, I mean, I just gave you three, but those are things I can't live without. I do them daily. Yeah. And I'm like everybody here. I thrive on learning new things to be better. So that's the whole point.
Definitely. Ed, no, it was awesome to have you on the show. Definitely have to have you back.
We'll
just crush out some more content here at a later date for sure. So thank you for coming on. It was an honor to have you on Making Bank.
Oh, awesome, Josh. And hey, one more request for your listeners.
Sure.
Could they, if they get the book, if they post a comment and tag me, whether it's Ed O'Keefe or Ed O'Keefe Show, I do actually respond. I surf it, and I the people who are part of that community, your community, and my community are the most important people because – we kind of got to stay together and grow together. That's the whole point. So,
yeah, definitely for sure. Hey guys, get out. Make sure you get Ed's book. It's tons jam packed full of great information, as well as I know he has a special opportunity to come to his event and stuff. I think it'll all be on the Time Collapsing website, and I'm gonna definitely be there. So again, Ed, thanks again for coming on Making Bank.
All right, Josh. Thanks. Thanks everybody.
I am Josh Felber, and you are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Making Bank is also available for download on iTunes and Stitcher.